Peace, love, and harmony, family. Welcome back to another episode of Talk Tuesday. I am your host, B Harmony, and as always, your support means the absolute world to me. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to another week of Talk Tuesday. I am so excited. We are 14 days away from the election, people. We are now officially entering into Harmony Politics election coverage, 14 days out. I hope that you guys were able to register to vote. Yesterday was the last day if you're in California. If you're not sure when your last day is, definitely go onto your county government website and make sure that you guys check it out. How is everybody feeling about this year's election? Are we nervous? Are we excited? Do we know without a shadow of a doubt who we're going to vote for? Are we riding hard for Trump? Are we going for Biden? What's going on out there in the world, you guys? Definitely want you guys to, you know, comment more, talk, write in, you know, talk to me. I'll talk back, definitely. But this year's election, man, I've been hearing so many crazy things about it. I know I've been quiet. You guys have been asking me, what do I feel about it? Well, we're 14 days away, so I'm definitely going to be letting you guys know something every single day. Whether that is by way of podcasts, social media posts, videos on YouTube, definitely go over to B Harmony on YouTube and subscribe. But I'm definitely going to be letting you guys know something every single day for the next 14 days regarding whatever news is breaking that speaks to me, that I feel like maybe we're not understanding it needs to be broken down in such a way that there is a harmonic solution, of course. But can we really have a harmonic solution in this election? I mean, to me personally, it's literally choosing between the two snakes. That's it. I mean, there's literally two snakes that we have to choose to vote for. And I keep hearing people say, oh, it's like choosing between the lesser of the two evils. And I feel like that's a really accurate point. Because we are most definitely choosing between the lesser of the two evils right now. We have the snake in the grass and we have the snake in your face. Which one do you choose? On one side, you have the snake that's in the grass that no one ever sees coming. The snake that is unexpected, you don't even know it's there, you're walking down the street having a good day, there's a pain in your ankle all of a sudden and you look down and you got bit by a god dang on snake. And now you're shocked, wondering, how did that happen? How did I get bit by this snake that I never saw coming? I never would have expected it. And then you have the snake that's in your face. The snake that's in your face, you see the snake sees you, you're fully aware of where the snake is at all times because you can see it. So can you maneuver around that snake? Absolutely, right? I mean, if you see the snake and you see it go left, then you know you shouldn't go left, you should go right. Like, it's common knowledge. So that is definitely my opinion on both of the candidates. Now, I won't tell you which one I think is the snake in the grass and which one isn't, but maybe, you know, through your own wise judgment and listening to previous episodes, and if you haven't, go ahead and go back and check some of them out. Not right now, of course, but after this is over, might as well listen to a couple more. Because we are entering into 14 days away from election. That is so insane. So for the next 14 days, I am definitely going to be speaking out more on social media, giving you guys videos, updating you guys on current laws, and making sure that I'm bridging that gap to my community, especially right now with so many different things happening within the election in itself and the first in history, and mics are being muted. So I definitely want to make sure that that informational gap is being closed every single day. So if you're not following me on Instagram, definitely go follow me. Find me on YouTube, Harmony Politics. I'm definitely going to be showing myself more, and, you know, I'm challenging myself for the next 14 days to put out at least some type of content every single day regarding the elections. And we're starting this Tuesday by talking about some of these props that are going to be on our ballots this coming November 3rd. Now, I know we all like to say that voting doesn't matter. And I myself used to really feel that way, especially before I majored in political science in my undergrad. I really was like, well, we have an electoral college. They're the ones who pick the president anyway. So what do we vote for? Our vote really doesn't matter. And although that may be true to some extent, which I feel absolutely, our vote does matter when it comes to other issues to vote about, especially with these props and our government at the local level as well, who we elect in Senate to represent us. A couple weeks ago, I did the census podcast. We let that one run for 2 weeks. Shout out to our sponsors on that. Thank you. We learned about how even taking the census means that it gives us representation that's within our government. And a lot of people don't know that. They take the census as a joke. I know for sure I used to be one of them, especially prior to my undergrad, you know. But when you really look at politics and you study it, everything is connected. It reminds me of a mushroom and the mycelium roots that are underground, how all of the roots connect to each other. And those roots that are connecting to each other are forming what we have in place today, which is the United States of America's political structure, which is so damaged and so broken. Like, for example, when I was watching CNN, I heard them talking about how we have to get Donald Trump out of office by any means, even if we have to vote for Joe Biden. And it shocked me because it's like, even if we have to vote for Joe Biden, what does that even mean? And then I flip over to MSNBC, Fox News, which is a, you know, Republican news station. And I flip over to that channel and I hear them talk about how a vote against Donald Trump is a vote against the economy. You want someone in office who cares more about his own political gains than you do someone who cares about the economy as a whole and how it functions and its structures. So on both sides, we are catching the aftermath, and we're catching the aftermath of their true agendas by the propositions and the measures and who they're putting in the House and the Senate. These are crucial issues in any election that every person who is able and willing and can vote. These are reasons why you should vote and why it is so important. Each prop that a president stands behind is a representation of him, his team, and what is to come. So paying attention to even something small as I support Prop 23, or Joe Biden said this about Prop 24, or Trump said this about Prop 17, you know, just to throw some random numbers out there. But pay attention to what they stand behind, because we are the ones who are choosing these props and choosing these measures. And by default, we are also choosing the type of person who's going to be in the office and carry out our plans and our vote and our what we think about the men who we elect as the new president is kind of irrelevant, because we need them to get a job done. That's what they're in the office for, to get a job done. They have a boss just like we have a boss. I don't believe that, you know, the president is the head honcho. No, there's a whole political structure that he reports to. There's rules and guidelines. There's checks and balances that are in place so that we don't allow one man so much power that it goes to his head and he becomes an extremist, a complete dictator. Although it may look like that right now with Donald Trump, he's not a dictator. But given America's history and the ugly foundations that this country was built upon, I definitely have the mindset that it could get worse. So voting is so important and so powerful that we have to use that this time around. And not because to not vote is a vote for Donald Trump, or to vote against Trump because you don't want him in office so bad because you think he's racist, you think X, Y, and Z. Whatever your reasons are, don't just vote for the other side without doing your research on both. Making sure that you're aware of both candidates and what they stand behind.
Factor in why the whole world is not doing something right. One side feels it was handled irresponsibly. The other side feels, well, what can we do? No one saw this coming. The only way that we can maneuver is the best way we see fit at the moment.
And given the moment that we're in with all the social injustices, racial injustices, police brutality, how do we get economic relief? What's going on? Given all of these moments, we are still faced with the decision and we have to make it. So we have to clear our minds, block out the noise from the liberals, from the Republicans, the conservatives, the moderate liberals, block out all of these categories that they try to make us conform to, and really focus on each prop, each measure, each person that's getting elected into the House or Senate or being appointed. And do our own research, get our own knowledge, make a wise decision, and share with others. And that's all I'm here to do today, is to share some of these props with you guys. We got Proposition 14, which costs about $5.5 billion if it passes, and it's to grant stem cell research to develop treatment and cures for chronic diseases, life-threatening diseases, you know, certain things like that, especially like coronavirus 2 as well. So I'm not really sure more detail about where they get the stem cells from. I've heard that they used aborted fetus babies for that type of thing. Now, I'm not really sure. That's one of the conspiracies that's out there. I looked a little bit into it, but definitely if you want to do more research on that, for Prop 4, that's Prop 14. We got Prop 15, which actually, this one's an interesting tax to me because it amends the tax cap that was set back in 1978. So basically what Prop 15 does, it makes it so that you have to pay taxes on your property based on how much it's worth now, not how much you bought it for. So a lot of people were saying, well, you know, not a lot of people actually, people who are economically savvy are saying that Prop 15 isn't really good for them personally because they have so much property, they're only paying taxes on what they bought it on at the original amount. When we know property taxes increase, you know, the neighborhood starts thriving, the value of your home or your property goes up. So they're not paying taxes on what it's worth now. They're paying taxes on what it would have been worth when they first bought it. And then we got Prop 18. Prop 18 is pretty interesting because I myself was actually in this situation where basically if you're 17 years old, as long as by the time the general election comes around and you will be 18 by that date, they can let you register. Back in 2000 and XXX, I'm not going to give you guys my age definitely, but back when I was able to vote for the first time, I had just barely missed the cutoff, so I wasn't actually able to register, although that December I had turned, you know, whatever age was necessary in order for me to vote during that time. So I personally like that one, and I think that it should be relevant because you do have some kids who are so into politics, especially now with the world and what's going on. People are more clued in than ever before. I mean, I know sometimes it seems like a real bullcrap show with the White House and the things that are going on, but there's still politics that are happening, and more people are involved and invested in them now more than ever, especially the youth, our future generation. You know, that they're the most important part of politics because they're the ones who are going to carry out what we're doing right now. They're going to continue it on. So definitely, I say vote yes on Prop 18, for sure. Prop 19, it helps seniors, disabled people who inherited their houses or whatever, just helps them get an easier tax break. So that's a pretty cool one, I suppose. Let's see, we got Prop 16. I don't think I talked about that one. Prop 16 is actually pretty interesting to me because there's two ways of looking at it, of course. Prop 16 promotes affirmative action, which we all know what that is. If you don't know, you know, it's just basically preventing people from treating you unfavorably because you belong to a certain group or class of people, right? But if you look at Prop 16 on the flip side, it's undoing a legal guarantee of equal rights. So you have to choose between what do you feel Prop 16 really is all about, because on one side it, you know, it promotes you getting a job based on, you know, your gender. And I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Black Lives Matter movement and how they're demanding that these African-Americans be put in positions and given the opportunity, which is very well said and done. But if you're not qualified for that position, whether you're black, white, blue, green, or brown, you shouldn't have that position. And based on the fact that you belong to a certain race or class of people, you shouldn't be given the opportunity because your work doesn't show that. And then you have on the flip side, of course, you have, does the end goal meet, like, is the end goal justified? Is it the most important thing is equality in the end and bringing back affirmative action to California? Will that justify the end goal of making is us equal? So that's a really big argument with Prop 16. So definitely one to, you know, do research for and watch out for, because it affects minorities on how they are admitted to universities, colleges, how they are viewed when it comes to certain types of jobs as well. Prop 17 is very near and dear to me personally because I have family members who are affected by this, but, you know, felons, should they get the right to vote? And for Prop 17 in California, you know, it's being pushed, especially by Democrats, that their voting rights should be restored. But of course, restoration only comes with stipulations. So there's no way to really know exactly everything that's going to be included in Prop 17 if passed, because there is a thing called shell billing where both sides pile in things to come to some type of agreement. But Prop 17, the gist of it is restoring voting rights to felons. Of course, the rules and regulations will come at our state, California's discretion. So that's an interesting one. Prop 20 is another interesting one that also has to do with the prison system. It increases penalties for various forms of stealing, quote unquote. So, I don't even know why I said quote unquote. You guys can see me do my air quotes, but Prop 20 is basically makes it harder for you to get out of jail. Number one, you have to have supervised release visits or supervised release visits when you get out of jail. They're going to make that a lot harder if Prop 20 passes. It also requires that depending on the type of crime, which is also at the state's discretion, your DNA will be collected. So even if they don't need your DNA, your DNA will be collected. So if you got a cousin or something committing crime somewhere else in the world, they might get a ping to your DNA hit. I'm not really sure how it works. I've seen Law and Order and stuff like that, but I don't know if that's true. And also, it really does change the sentencing for various forms of stealing. So some forms of stealing that are looked at as for Joe Blow, who's an African-American male, on his second strike and he's homeless, he went into a diner and stole a hot plate of food. Now he gets life in prison. That's his third strike. So for that, in that sense, Prop 20 is great. But in the sense that Prop 20, okay, well, this man just stole $5.8 million in white-collar crime. Let's give him a slap on the wrist in probation. In that sense, it's not great. So that's definitely for you to choose. Prop 21, our governor, Gavin Newsom, signed it, actually, and it's looking to be enacted again in this ballot. It's basically a rent increase, so when you live somewhere, you want to re-sign the lease or anything like that, it can't go up no more than 5% each year, which is good for some people because 5%, it might be a lot, it might not be a lot, but the goal is to where you're not renting each year, you're supposed to be going to get property. But given the way the economy is going, I mean, who can really afford property right now if you can't even afford your own rent right now? So would be Prop 21. And lastly, Prop 25, it's basically an automatic release for people who are arrested for misdemeanors. So within the first 12 hours of you being arrested, you should be released. Of course, if you're not being picked up on a harsher charge or anything like that. And this decision is supposed to help the courts make more informed decisions on who should be in jail and who shouldn't to reduce prison overcrowding and everything. Obviously, this sounds like a Democratic push, which it is. It's definitely on the Democratic side of the ballot, Prop 25, because the Republicans feel like, you know, jails are business. Businesses are money. Come on, man. I don't need to tell you guys. You guys know already. Oh, also, I lied when I said that was the last one. No, definitely want to make sure I shout out to Prop 22. Definitely vote no on Prop 22 because that's the exemption for the Uber and Lyft drivers. I personally know people who drive Uber, Lyft. They work for the company. And it's not right of us to try to make them, you know, make their company, like, telling them they have to clock in and clock out. The whole point of it is they're driving their own car. And if I'm driving my own car personally, you're not going to tell me when I have to report to work and when I don't in my own vehicle. I'm going to make my own hours. And so we definitely want to vote no on that to, you know, just keep drivers' rights overall and keep the company. You know, I know they're big companies and some people are haters, but trust me, your little $5 ride is not going to make a dent in Uber or Lyft company if you decide to stop going with them if this law passes or doesn't pass. We can move on to some party members who are actually trying to get to the Senate. So first up, we have Rosalishi Bao. She's a Republican Party of San Bernardino County. And, you know, some of the things that she focuses on is fixing unemployment. She advocates for families in the Inland Empire. She wants stronger schools. She wants lower taxes, which is a surprise and a very nice surprise. And she also wants affordable homes. So then we have Democrat James Ramos, who's also from San Bernardino County, advocates a lot for firefighters, being that he was a firefighter, mental illness. He also wants to start a suicide prevention office. So I think that's really awesome because that is something that we as a nation struggle with, our suicide rates, especially among the youth. And we have to protect the youth because I'm always going to push this. They are our future. They are the ones who are going to carry out what we have. And I can't imagine being 11, 10, 12 in my teenage years growing up right now as opposed to when I did grow up and how the times are just so different now. So definitely, I'm an advocate for James Ramos, and I'll speak out on behalf of him. I'm going to vote for him. We have Democrat, of course, Joe Baca Jr. Everybody knows Baca family and everything. You know, they're want to get rid of homelessness, affordable housing for homeless, and all types of things like that to try to clean up the, you know, the 5th District and everything. So Republican Jesse Armendariz is running as well. And then we have Abigail, who I just recently heard of. She's actually a pretty interesting woman. Her stance on immigration and violence prevention when it comes to social injustices and police interaction with the community was very awesome for me to read. I had no idea about her, and it kind of makes me sad that she's not getting as much attention as she should be getting. But just her views on certain theories, especially environmental justice when it comes to affordable housing and education, and how all three of those, her environmental justice, her education policies, and her violence prevention policies are all forming together to create this beautiful laid out plan that she has for the Inland Empire if she can get there. I'm not really sure if she can actually do what she says, but on paper, she has a problem. She created a plan. Now she just needs community behind her to vote for her and act on that. So definitely advocate for Abigail. If you see her on your ballot, make sure that you vote for Abigail. Even if you don't know anything about her and my word is enough, thank you for believing that I did my research, because I definitely feel like I did. And you guys know, if I didn't, I'll come back and I'll let you guys know. So these propositions are something that we need to consider, not just the ones that I named. There's plenty more, but like I said, I'm going to be covering the elections for the next 14 days. So I definitely don't want to burn you guys out on propositions on the first, you know, day one of 14. But these propositions are important because they are what's going to enact new laws or, you know, create these constitutional amendments that are going to build the new foundation of the world that we are going to move in post-COVID. Every single one of these propositions are put on the ballot by legislation, our legislative branch. Exactly. So when you hear legislation and propositions, you know that these are things that can actually come to fruition. We have to decide. These are constitutionally binding propositions that we as the majority have to vote for. If these propositions don't get the majority vote, then the amendments don't come on the Constitution. There's no change that's made. These propositions that we see on the ballot are more likely to get approved because people don't really pay attention to them. We see them on there. We're like, oh, so we decide and let someone else make the decision for us. By not taking the proposition seriously, by not taking time to actually look at what you're voting for, even if you read the little brief example or sample that's on your ballot, just make sure you read about it and think about what that means in depth. Nobody's going to rush you at the polls. You can take as long as you need to. That's your right. And in having your rights, a part of that is knowing where to go to get information from. I know sometimes, you know, people think, oh, we're in 2020. Everybody knows about politics, or everybody knows how to register to vote or where to go and look up candidates. But not everybody knows that information. And don't be afraid to speak up on something that you don't know, because if you don't know, then you can't do any better, or you can't, you know, get the knowledge. So for those of you guys who are aware, you guys can go on harmonypolitics.com, go on the vlog tab, and there I have a list of the county schedule for San Bernardino County. But not only from there, if you are not in San Bernardino County and you're listening to this, you can go on wherever you're at, .gov. And that's going to take you to your accredited official government site for your state, your city, your country, wherever you're listening from. And that's going to let you guys know more information about what you can do. I'm going to try to find a universal link so that way you guys can just type in your zip code or something when you click on it, and it'll take you to wherever you need to go to get your voting information, to get your information about the ballots, about the various propositions that are going on in your state. Just to find out who is running for Senate positions, who's trying to get to the House. So definitely go on harmonypolitics.com. You guys can also catch this episode on the audio tab. Any one of those links you can listen to, whether it's Breaker, Google Podcasts, Apple, Spotify, whatever it is that you're into, you know. I definitely want to thank you guys for showing me support. Thank you guys for tuning in. And this is only day one. So if you're not subscribed to Instagram, definitely go to harmonypolitics_ and make sure that you follow me on Instagram, so that way you guys can see more videos, little snippets that I'll be doing as we near every single day to the election. Be Harmony on YouTube. Search Harmony Politics or Be Harmony on YouTube. Definitely going to be putting out a YouTube video within these 14 days as well, where I'm going to be breaking things down. Might even include a little chart for you guys, for those of my visual learners. So thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you. And remember, this is day one of Talk Tuesday special report. We got 14 More days to go, you guys. Peace and love.